Our first reading was from the book of Esther, chapter 5, and I want you to turn with me now to that portion of Scripture. And I want you, with God's help along with me, to consider approaching the throne of God. It gladdens the heart of Almighty God when men, women, and young people approach His holy throne and call upon His name. And the Bible has a lot to say about approaching the throne. Now, as we turn to Esther 5, and Esther is a tremendous book, like all the books of the Bible, but if you really want to see the sovereignty of God, read the book of Esther. And the sovereignty of God is revealed in that book in so many, many ways. And here we find that the young Queen Esther is desiring to appear in the presence of her king. And she is aware that Mordecai is under threat. The Jewish people indeed are under threat. That this evil man Haman is scheming against them. And so Esther, indeed in response to that request made by Mordecai under the hand of God, appears in many ways in fear and trembling before the king. You and I have a king in glory, and we approach him reverently, but he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But the one that Esther had to approach, he had his mood swings. She never knew what way she was going to find him. Would he even receive her? Or indeed would she perish at his hand? But we find that Esther approaches the royal courts. And when you and I approach God, we are approaching the royal courts of heaven. And Esther, we find, is arrayed in royal robes. As she approaches the king's palaces, as she indeed would enter his courts, she is wearing the proper attire. She is clothed in royal robes. It says here in verse 1 that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house. And so when we think of Esther approaching the king, she didn't just approach him any old way. Indeed, she dare not. Had she been in a ragged state, had she been in attire which would have been unbecoming, well, the king would have been wroth. He would have rejected her. And so when you and I come to God, and I want to speak first of all to God's people, as believers, well, we know that we are properly clothed. We are clothed in the robe of righteousness. A righteousness that is not our own or of our own making, but the righteousness that is imputed to us by faith. Indeed, in Isaiah 61 verse 10, we are reminded that we are clothed in the garments of righteousness and the robes of righteousness. And so we need to ask ourselves the question this day, am I clothed in righteous garments? That righteousness of Christ, has it been imputed to me by faith? Can I approach God with assurance and the knowledge of this? Or indeed, Am I still clothed in the rags of sin? You know, again through the prophet, God says that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. So any self-righteousness that you and I might possess is worthless. God says, filthy rags. And so we approach God, you and I who believe, clothed in the robe of righteousness, which gives us assurance. But those who believe not, until they do believe, then fearfully they approach that throne. And yet God calls sinners to repentance, and he calls upon them to approach him, that they might be clothed in the robe of righteousness. The perfect righteousness of Christ has been imputed to us by faith, for Christ is our righteousness. And so Esther approached the king in the right way, and she was arrayed in royal robes. But then I also see Esther standing in full view of the one on the throne. As she approached the king's palaces and entered the courts, the king beheld her. We read there in verse 2 that she was certainly being viewed by the king. And we find, and it was so when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court that she obtained favor in his sight. He saw her. He couldn't see her at all times, but he saw her as she approached him and entered his courts. But the Lord doesn't just see you and me when we approach him and approach his courts, the royal courts of heaven. Our great Saviour King beholds you and me every moment of every day. We are constantly under his eye. We are in view continually. And you know, this thing, that very thought, should challenge us. As the Lord beholds me and sees me each and every day, continually, how do I appear in his sight? As one who might be cold in heart, as one who would be careless about the holy things of God, as one indeed who would be called by his name, just as Esther indeed could approach the king here as the queen, so you and I who are saved, the church is the bride of Christ. But are we appealing to him as we stand before him? You see, if we are vexing the King of Glory, our Savior, and grieving him through carelessness or looseness or disobedience, whatever, we need to bear in mind the Lord sees and knows it all. Nothing is hid from him. In Hebrews 4 and verse 13, we read concerning the believer, all things are open to the eyes of him. And therefore, it's not just what we are on our Lord's day in the house of God, in fellowship with the people of God. It's what we are in the home. It's what we are 7 days a week. All being viewed by God, every word we utter, heard by God, every thought known to God. And here is Esther. And she's certainly not under such scrutiny, constant scrutiny by the king. But nevertheless, as she approaches him, she makes sure that everything is in order. And you and I, as we approach God, the Bible tells us, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. We need to come to the Lord, making sure that things are in order, or at least coming to him, asking for help, so that things will be in order. So she's arrayed in royal robes. She's standing in full view of the one who sits on the throne. But I see thirdly that Esther, she's expecting the king's favor. Now she knows the nature of the king. And he's so different from our Savior King. This man, indeed, had he been in the wrong mood, he certainly wouldn't have showed her favor. But you know, she's come in expectancy. Esther in her heart believes, she's convinced, I'm here because God wants me here. I'm the queen due to the sovereignty and the providence of God. I'm here this day to petition the queen. Not because I want it to be here. Indeed, when I was approached by Mordecai, I would have resisted and did resist. But I'm here because God has determined it, that I am here. And so she's coming into the presence of the king. And although no doubt she is fearful, she still, trusting in God, expects the king's favor. And there in chapter 5 and verse 2, she wasn't disappointed. And it was so when the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. When we think of expecting the king's favor, you and I who are saved, we are favored beyond measure, beyond all understanding. That's what grace really is. God's free, unmerited favor. And here is Esther, and she's expecting the king's favor, and she receives it in faith. And you and I are the favored citizens of heaven. We are God's children, God's people. Fair enough, we're here on earth at this moment in time, but this world is not our home. Our citizenship is in heaven. We are the kings, and we are constantly in his favor. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Rome, not the church of Rome, that would be a different thing, but the church at Rome, to the saints of God at Rome, he says in Romans 5 and verse 2, to those believers, that we have access into the grace wherein we stand. So in the free and merited favor of God, we have access and constant access 24/7 into the presence of God. And indeed the Lord is ever present with us. Should we not be expecting the king's favor continually as we seek to honor him? Of course we should. And it brings us again to the work and life of the church. As we have come to God's house today, have we come in expectancy? There was Esther in the king's court, and in faith, she was expecting God to work out a sovereign plan for her being there. She was expecting God to move and work to his glory. Now we're here, and it should be more than just another Lord's Day morning in Whitley Wood Reformed Baptist Church. We should come not just saying, well, it's the Lord's Day again. I'm going to worship and to receive the word and enjoy fellowship with God's people and to be able to draw close to him. But do we come expecting God to richly bless us abundantly? And you know, as a church, and I know you're praying for increase and you're praying for souls, and your beloved pastor is preaching for souls. But all of us together, as we serve the Lord, must have that air of expectancy, knowing and believing that God will work, that God will answer prayer, that he will hear our petitions, not to mock us or turn us away, but to answer those prayers that are pleasing to him. And we have access into this grace wherein we stand. And we should come in expectancy, like Esther. She was expecting the king's favor. But then I also see that Esther was waiting for the royal scepter to be extended. She just didn't barge in. No, as the king beheld her, and she was aware that she had found favor in his sight, because he reached out the scepter for her to touch. And she had to wait until that scepter was extended. But how different it is for you and me. That scepter from the throne of grace, and the one who sits upon that throne, is ever extended to us. It's not the matter of looking for it or waiting for our Savior King to hold it out for us to touch it. It's ever there before us. He's holding it out continually so that you and I by faith can come to him, touch the scepter, get alongside our Savior and bring our requests and our petitions to him. Not being forgetful, of course, to thank him and praise him for his favor and all the many benefits he bestows upon us continually. And the believer, we have all the authority of heaven at our disposal. When we think that the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, he is all authority. And he is the voice of authority. And we are in him. And so he could say that the Father heard him always. And when you and I are walking in harmony with God and praying aright and talking to God in a way that is honoring to his name, he hears us. And as Esther waited for the royal scepter to be extended, she didn't keep the king waiting. She was waiting on him to reach it out. But sadly, we can behave in a way that's the very opposite. The king is continually holding out the scepter, and we so often, sadly, can fail to reach out and touch it. As the indwelling Spirit of God would call us to visit the throne of grace, as the scepter is there to touch, and the king wants to hear her voice. He wants you and me to be in his presence. He wants indeed to speak to us through his word. He wants us to call on his name, to pour out our hearts to him. He's ever there. And where Esther found herself being kept waiting by the king, oh, so often the King of Glory is kept waiting by us. And the Lord today reminds us of the scepter and the access that we have continually into his presence. And you know, Esther was ready to touch the golden scepter. No hemming or hawing. Oh, as soon as that scepter was stretched out to her, she touched it. And she knew, I am in his favor. I can bring my request, my petition to him. The king is going to give me a hearing. Ah, but you and I, we are assured that we will always get a hearing. He will never close his ears to your voice or mine, dear brother, dear sister. And you know as well as that, any here who might be unsaved, the Lord speaks to men, women, and young people. And he says, today, if you will hear my voice, harden not your heart. See that you refuse not the voice of him that speaketh. And as God extends, as it were, the scepter to fallen sinners, and the Lord calls sinners to repentance, maybe you're here, and you know that the scepter of the gospel has been stretched out before you on many occasions, and yet you sit, and unlike Esther, you haven't reached out. Oh, the Lord in love reaches out to men and women, undeserving sinners like me. Tell me, have you touched the scepter? Have you touched the throne of grace? Have you cried like the old publican in the temple? God be merciful to me, the sinner. And praise God, we read that Jesus said, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. And salvation is of the Lord. He calls. He reaches out. But you and I, as we hear his voice, are accountable to God. Even though God is sovereign in all things, in everything, he still holds those accountable who have had the scepter stretched out before them on numerous occasions and still have not entered into his presence in faith. And then I hear, or I see Esther listening to the king's voice in verse 3. Verse 3, she's listening to the king's voice. Then said the king unto her, what wilt thou, Queen Esther? And what is thy request? It shall be even given thee to the half of the kingdom. And she knows with a certainty that she's in the king's favor. But she's not talking at this stage. She's listening. Now, God likes to hear your voice and mine. And he wants you and me to talk to him and to pour out our hearts to him. But God also expects us to listen to his voice. And here is Esther. And she's entered the king's court. And she's wanting to know what the king has to say to her. Have we that same desire? It's not the matter of you or me going to the throne of grace each day with a shopping list of requests. Praise God, he does hear our requests. And we come thanking and praising him for his favor and his love. We must do that. We ought to be doing that. But it's important to listen to God. To listen for the king's voice. And just to look on him as he's revealed to us in the scriptures. As he speaks to us from the scriptures. To behold him there in the scriptures. To hear his voice. Indeed guiding us. Even at times rebuking us, counseling us, comforting us, reminding us of his love, the king's voice, like the Shulamite bride in the Song of Solomon concerning the king. For sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. And so here is Esther. And she's listening. Listening to what the king says. May you and I learn that lesson as well. Not only to talk to God. But to listen to God. And to take on board what he has to say. And then in verses 3 and 4. I see Esther relying on the king's promise. What wilt thou, Queen Esther? What is thy request? It shall be even given thee to the half of the kingdom. And Esther answered, if it seem good unto the king, let the king and Haman come this day unto the banquet that I have prepared for him. I'm going to grant you your request, even to half the kingdom. And Esther believes the king. She knows that under their law, the king could not go back on his word. And so she's relying on the king's promise. What about us? When we think of all the promises that are ours to claim in the Lord, in Christ Jesus, our king, every promise that our God gives is for you and me. We worship one who cannot go back in his word. God cannot deny himself. God cannot lie. God is one who honors every word that he says to you and me, we can rest firm on his promises. But are we claiming them? Esther believed the king, what he said to her. Do we really believe the Lord? Now we might have believed in him for salvation. I trust we have. But do we believe him in all things? Even in dark days of difficulty. Days when we just don't know where what the answer is going to be, where it will all pan out. But if we trust God, if we trust our King, who will withhold no good thing from them that love him, here is Esther, and we find that she's listening to the king's voice, and now she's relying on the king's promises. Now when God speaks to you and me from his word concerning maybe matters that we're praying about, do we believe the Lord? As he would assure us to fret not, but to stand on his promises, do we stand on them? Sometimes sing that hymn, standing on the promises of God. The words are easy to sing, if you're a singer, that is. But when it comes to living them out, are we standing on the promises? And you know, we live in dark days of apostasy and compromise all around, and the church is under pressure. But I think of Revelation 3:20, where God speaks to individuals. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, the Lord speaks to us, and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. And here is Esther. And indeed, she's now with the king, and she's hearing his voice. And in hearing his voice, she believes his promises. And as you read through the book of Esther, you will see how that God worked for Esther and Mordecai and for their people in a mighty way. And Haman, the schemer, who hated the people of God, was hanged on his own gallows. Oh, we see God at work. And you and I, just like Esther, as she claimed the promise, may you and I claim God's promises daily, for we can stand upon them. We are invited in Hebrews 4:16 as believers to approach boldly. That means with confidence. It doesn't mean with arrogance. It means with confidence. That we can approach boldly the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's the promise of God. And his promises never fail. But we must pray in faith. I'm going to just leave you a little example on faith. I imagine it was one of those African countries and there hadn't been rain for a long time. And the crops were going to be lost. And a pastor in a little village in one of those regions, he called the church to a day of prayer. He announced that we are going to have a day of prayer for rain. And of course, the day of prayer arrived. And all the people were coming to church. And the sun was splitting the stones as usual. There wasn't a cloud to be seen. And everyone was coming to church to pray for rain. And this little girl was amongst them, carrying her umbrella. And there were those who looked down on her and said, "What's this? What's the meaning of this umbrella? You won't need it today." She says, "Well, aren't we here to pray for rain?" A little child shall lead them. A little child's word of rebuke. And so when you and I come to God, we must come believing. And as we come believing, we will come receiving. May the Lord bless his word to your heart and to mine for his name's sake. Amen.